Welcome to An Orderly Account with Pastor John Stews, where, from the book of Acts, we're learning how the Holy Spirit of God is filling the earth with the kingdom of Jesus. All are welcome to join us for worship at Church of the King, each Lord's Day at Kingdom Builder Books in Roseville. We celebrate family-integrated worship with the hearty singing of psalms and hymns, the proclamation of God's Word, and weekly communion. Go online to orderlyaccount.com to learn more about us. Now, here's Pastor John Stews.
We will remain standing this morning for the reading of God's Word, where we'll continue in Acts chapter 13, picking up in Paul's call to confession in his sermon at Antioch of Pisidia. Hear now the word of the Lord. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. As it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And that he raised him from the dead no more to return to corruption, he has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that which has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I will work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. So when the Jews went out from the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you as your children. We come before you as the descendants of Abraham who have been blessed in the mercies of David. We bless you that you have given us salvation through your Son and ask that your Spirit might be poured out this morning to teach us those lessons you would have us to learn. And all of God's people said, you may be seated. Well, last week we considered at length the sermon that the Apostle Paul gave at the synagogue of Antioch in Pisidia. We read it again this morning, or at least the large portion of it, his call to repentance and salvation. And now we will begin to consider the results that Luke tells us followed this proclamation of God's Word. This week we see the positive response that came from the Jews, from the proselytes, and the God-fearing Gentiles upon hearing the word preached. Next week, we will see that jealousy among the Jews breaks out, and we will consider the warnings against allowing a root of bitterness to grow up in the midst of our covenant community. And finally, Lord willing, we will study how Luke demonstrates that the gospel has divided the world just as God said it would in the Garden of Eden. Now, Paul has been faithful in going to the Jews first, as we will see throughout the rest of the book of Acts. And we know that Paul, as a Jew himself, had a passion for his people. And we can see this no better than the words that he would write later to the church at Rome. In Romans chapter 9, we read from Paul, "I tell you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites." Now, you know, we pray often here at the Church of the King, and I know we do as families, for those who have wandered away from the covenant or have rejected the call of the gospel. And Paul certainly shows that our hearts are in the right place and that we should be very passionate about such prayers. But you see, Paul also understood the role that the Jewish people had played in the history of God's redemption. Something, if you remember last week, Paul had spent a great deal of time on in the early part of his sermon. And there in Romans 9, he continues, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen." However, Paul explains in his sermon that the Jews in Jerusalem rejected the Messiah. And along with what we will see next week here in Antioch, it is clear that not all of the Jews were faithful. And it's important for us to remember that this was not a surprise to God. Paul goes on in chapter 9 of Romans to write, "But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are Israel, nor are they all children because they are of the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed." Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself this morning. We're going to, Lord willingly, leave the questions about man's free will and God's sovereign choice for the message in 2 weeks. But I think it's important context for us to understand, to see how Paul delivers the gospel to the Jews first, but also to those who had converted to Judaism and to God-fearing Gentiles. We're going to focus on the fact that all of these people responded to that message this morning, and on Paul's call that they live in the grace of God. As we saw last week, it is the same message of salvation that is carried to all the world. And I hope we're beginning to see a little bit of a pattern. Peter proclaimed this first to the Jews in Jerusalem after the first great miracle was performed by the apostles in the temple. He said in Acts chapter 4 that Peter, Luke tells us that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he was been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. And this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Paul has preached now this same message when he declared to the Jews and others here at Antioch, saying, "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from the things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. It is the simple gospel message. It's the message that Paul would write to the Romans some years later, where he introduces his book to this church that he had not yet visited, saying, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. He says a bit later, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and for the Greek. For it is in the righteousness of the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. As we consider what this means for us today, we should remember again that Luke is writing an orderly account for his friend Theophilus. The books of Luke and Acts make up over 20%, over a fifth of the New Testament. It is where the orderly account of salvation is told. It's an account that tells us how Jesus comes to save his people from their sins. It is also where we learn that these righteous saints become the church, which is referred to as the body of Christ and His bride. And it is here that we learn that the Holy Spirit has come to glorify His Son by filling the earth with His kingdom, doing so through the church. Now here, Paul, in this sermon, has summarized these truths by reminding them that their sins need to be forgiven, that they can only be forgiven through the work of Jesus. And now that we are free to live under the blessings, we are free to live under the blessings of the law of Moses and to continue in His grace. Now it is important that we don't miss that last point. If the Spirit is going to fill the earth with the kingdom of Jesus, if all the nations of the earth will be brought under subjection to Jesus before His return, as Paul has taught, then how do we know what the kingdom or these nations should or will look like and act like? It is going to be a world filled with people and nations who love God and keep His commandments. Or as Paul said, they will continue in His grace. My goal this morning is to really make sure that our younger children understand what we're saying here. So I'm going to try as best I can to really speak to them and try to help them to understand. And I'm pretty sure as I do that, that we as adults will tag along and learn some things as well. You see, Paul and Barnabas admonish them to continue in grace, to live by faith. And what I want us to do is to think about that as a road or as a path maybe that Pilgrim followed, if you're familiar with Pilgrim's Progress. On the sides of this road, and let's for this morning, for this sake, the road of righteousness, the road of faith is the center aisle. So those of you sitting close there, you can feel good about that. But I want the children to be able to visualize. We're talking about a path. We're talking about taking a journey. And on the sides of this road of faith, we have warnings in the New Testament about two very dangerous ditches. I often call them cliffs, but for the sake of Pilgrim's Progress, let's call them ditches. Places that we don't want to be. And as long as we as saints, as long as we as covenant children and covenant members are walking along the right path, then we are happy and contented. Doesn't mean that we don't have what Rita went through this week in her fall with a broken wrist, but it means that there is peace and contentment and comfort as the community comes around and her husband loves her and the hospitals take care of her. It doesn't mean a comfortable life in a physical sense. It means a contented and peaceful life. That's what we should be doing. Now, if, on the other hand, we wander off into the ditches, then we suddenly find that our life is full of trouble and strife. And I've been around enough rich people living in beautiful, comfortable homes to know that there can be just as much trouble and strife in the midst of material blessings as there can be in abject poverty. So, again, we're not talking about getting rich or being poor. We're talking about a state of mind as we go through life. So if you wander off into the ditches, you're going to have trouble and strife. And for you adults, I want you to think about this. If you're in the ditch, you can't solve the problem by trying to reform the ditch and make it better. You need to get back on the path. You need to be back on the road. And again, I think Pilgrim's Progress has been as popular as it has because it demonstrates that over and over. So, as we think about the ditches that are on the sides of the road, I want our children to learn some new words this morning. Two of them. They're words that they probably have heard, but they're probably not quite sure what they mean. We always have to be careful about that with children. So, here's our road of righteousness. On this side, there's a ditch. And we're going to call this ditch legalism. The ditch of legalism. Legalism is a word that we use when someone is trying to save themselves. When they're trying to earn their own salvation. When they think that if I just do things better, then God will be pleased with me. It is in this ditch that we're calling legalism, that God's law is used in ways that it was never intended to be used. You come away with the attitude that, well, you know, if I just keep the Ten Commandments, then God will be pleased with me and He'll deliver me. Well, I think you all know that we read the Ten Commandments on a very regular basis here at Church of the King. And in doing so, we are reminded that this was not how they were intended at all. When God gave His people the Ten Commandments there as they were about to enter the land of Canaan, He did not say, here are some important rules, and if you keep these rules, then I will be your God, and I will deliver you. That's not what He said, was it? What God said was just the opposite. And it's what we read each time that we read the Ten Commandments, and sometimes we don't think about it. They begin, I am Jehovah your God. I am Jehovah your God, and who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You see, this is a great picture of what Paul has now preached. You were all slaves of sin, and God has delivered you through what Jesus did. God has put you on the right path, and we are to walk by faith on that path. We are now free to travel along that path, living our lives in the way that God intended us to live, loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. If we turn from this and think that these laws are the way that we can prove to God that we are acceptable, then we end up in the ditch of legalism. And we are once again slaves of sin with no hope of salvation. So that's the first ditch. Legalism. I want to stay out of that ditch. It's where we try to save ourselves, and that is very futile. Paul clearly tells these people in Antioch that no one has ever been freed by the law. No one can ever save themselves. So, what's the other ditch? I said there were two ditches, one for either side of the road. Well, it's one that has an even bigger name. You guys listening? This one's called antinomianism. I won't make you spell it. Antinomianism is a very big word for being against the law or being without the law. And sadly, there are many people that are in this ditch today. People who are ignoring God's law or saying that God's law is not important. That there are people that would be shocked that we read the Ten Commandments in a Christian worship service. This comes from people who do not understand what is said about grace and law in the New Testament. And I hope to demonstrate that this morning. As we would expect, there are many warnings in the Scriptures to keep us out of this ditch that we're calling legalism. God doesn't want us to be in trouble. So He's going to warn us and tell us to stay away from bad things. This is where most of the religious leaders of that day spent their time. They were proud of all the rules that they had come up with. And they wanted people to follow them. And they expected God to be pleased with them. Think of that proud Pharisee who prayed in the temple, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector who's here to pray as well. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." He was a very proud man who was keeping his rules in his ditch of legalism. So it should not surprise us that we see warnings against such behavior in the Scriptures, including those parables that Jesus told. And we find one of the most famous at the beginning of the Gospel of John, which has sadly been misused to throw people into the other ditch. So listen carefully to what John says in his Gospel. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Those are all things that live in the ditch of legalism. Blood, I was born to the right family. Will of the flesh, I can do it myself. The will of man, I'm following my rules. John says, none of those things are why people believe. It says, but by the will of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Now, if we do not clearly understand that this is a warning from the Apostle John, very similar to the sermons that we're hearing Paul preach, if we don't understand that that is a warning to stay out of that ditch of legalism and to not go there, then we will end up in the other ditch thinking that the law of God is not important.
Thank you for listening to An Orderly Account from Church of the King in Roseville. Pastor John Stews will continue to encourage you in this series next week at the same time. Church of the King welcomes any interested individuals, couples, or families to join us Sunday mornings at 11 for worship at Kingdom Builder Books in Roseville. We're a pro-life, pro-family church, preaching the Word and celebrating communion each week. To learn more about us, visit us at orderlyaccount.com or call 916-451-5660.